All right, everybody. Good morning. Good morning on this Wednesday morning, April 2nd, the day that President Trump is starting his tariffs, which is predicted by many to throw us into a big cataclysmic storm of basically the destruction of our country, because they're saying, which I'm going to show you when I do the news on Friday, but they're saying that it's going to cause a huge inflation and cost on everything. And I just want to talk to you guys a few minutes about a couple of things. One is, yesterday, you know, Dennis and I, we have it set in our heart for these 3 days that we're not going to have any television or anything. It's just us and Jesus, you know. So yesterday I went off in the woods to talk to the Lord. And boy, I'll tell you what, I spent the whole time repenting, just about crying over my kids, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, it got a lot off of me, you know, being able to just be with the Lord like that. And so when I come back, I thought, you know, I'm just going to go down my phone and I'm just going to call everybody. I'm just going to one-on-one talk to people, you know. And so I did that, and wow, I found out a lot of stuff already. And so a couple of them I interviewed, and I'm going to play that audio on Friday. You're not going to believe what is going on in some of these states. Wow, wow, wow. I'm telling you, how people can't see this, I have no idea. I'll just tell you a quick is, one was California, and she was telling me what's happening in the schools with the vaccines and all that, and what's happening with the government and stuff like that. And then Florida was the worst, because you know, guys, that we have covered Florida since the beginning. Such a trap for the church, a trap for conservatives. Because let me tell you, let's go back to 2020. Oh, you know, DeSantis, you know, he's the best thing since sliced bread. He's really fighting for all. I mean, he spoke the right things, although we knew he's working with the Noahides. But he spoke the right things, boy, to lure them Christians in. Yes, he did. Even when I went down there, there was signs like, you know, the banners on the interstate welcoming Christians in Georgia. They were specifically targeting evangelicals. I told everybody back then, it is a trap. It's a honeypot. It's a trap. Because as soon as you get into the state of Florida, and this was in the beginning, like 2020, 2021, they were already smothering the place with infrastructure, which you knew was going to be surveillance. It's just a surveillance trap, much less all of the smart cities they've got planned for Florida. Okay, so anyway, anywho, all these years later, now people are losing everything in Florida. They're losing everything down there because of their insurance rates have went up. She said one friend was $25,000 a year just for insurance. These people, they don't have that kind of money. And much less the insurance, that the taxes have went up ridiculous. And with FEMA, she talked to you guys about what FEMA was doing when they were paying people and the tricks that they're doing. They're trying to get everybody to tear down their houses and build these new ones you know, that are universal compliant, which we know what all this means, smart stuff. Anyways, I'm going to show all of you guys that on Friday. But me and her both, no, not me and her, it was me and Dee. Me and Dee had a conversation last night about it. Because Dee is in New York. She was talking about how their insurance is worse in Florida than it is in New York. But how it was such a trap getting all the Christians down there to utterly devastate them. You know they knew this ahead of time. Yes, they did. Anyways, we also know about their geoengineering agenda, and we know what God told us yesterday about speaking to the storm, the dream that he gave us, and about using our mouth to come in agreement with heaven because we are the sons and daughters of God. And yesterday was our official activation day. And God telling us, you're going to begin to hear my voice more clear. Okay, so I just want you to know, though, that I really enjoyed calling all those people. And I'm still going to call for the next 3 days. I'm going to go down the list and talk to people and find out what's going on. One man I talked to in Texas, you know, was telling me that he hasn't watched me since. He didn't even know I changed my name. So it's good for me to reconnect with people. You know, some of them have lost contact because they thought that I, you know, dwindled out, but they didn't know I changed names type of deal. But anyway, so as the Lord, the flow of what God is doing this week in our 3-day fast is, I had actually two dreams last night. I had two. And they were short dreams, but I believe it has a theme of what God is trying to tell us today. Now, before I tell you these dreams, I'm looking in my journal where I get up and I write every morning. I try to every morning about me and Dennis and the farm and what God is doing and whatnot. And I've started a separate journal of news. I wish I'd have done this since 2020, don't you? Where I could have documented, you know, everything that happened every day in a list, and I didn't. But now I'm doing it, okay? I mean, maybe too late, but, you know, to kind of show what President Trump's doing. Okay, now, this was a dream that Dennis had, and I think this was about a month ago. He woke up in the middle of the night and he said that Trump had lost the election and the world went into utter chaos. Okay. And chaos erupted. Now, at that time, we had no idea about what they're doing now. And I saw this as I'm writing my other dreams about this morning. And I just want to tell you guys what is significant about that dream. Okay, because lately, over the past week, they've been really pushing it in the news about President Trump running a third term. And one article even come up that he could run up until 2035 through a loophole in the Constitution. You know how people, how they try to shape the narrative or whatever. Okay, but I had this thought, excuse me, this morning. What if they are priming the Christians, preparing them for Trump's forever leadership, the king forever? They asked Trump yesterday, are you, no, they said, we heard that even Barack Obama can run for a third term. Would you object to you running against Barack Obama? And he said, I would actually love that. Okay, so let's go down that road a minute. Let's say that it is Barack Obama. And you got all these Christians out here. And they all think Trump's going to stay in. And Trump's been in there mowing it down, you know, changing all these laws, change, 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 to all of this ridiculous death, murder, maiming. You know what I mean? He's putting in all these laws that all the church is quiet about right now because it's Trump, thinking he's going after those old evil Democrats. See what I mean? But what if Trump is preparing the way for Obama to come in and mow it down under Trump's laws? But it looks like it's Obama doing it and not Trump. Back up 4 years. I'm not trying to be all newsy, but I'm preparing the road. 4 years ago, that's exactly what happened with Biden. Trump bowed out. He prepared laws for Biden. He even did the 1776 Commission. Biden comes in and activates what they learned. This is how the presidents work. So Biden over the next 4 years works with Trump's people, who Trump had to approve every last one that got in the Republican Party. So now they all are working, all the America First are working with Trump. I mean with Biden. So now Biden's mowing it down, law after law after law after law after law after law after law. Bipartisan, bipartisan, bipartisan. They're all working together, the most bipartisan president in history. And how the people can't see they're all working together, people. So then Biden comes out, Trump comes in, and then he's the savior. He has carte blanche by the Supreme Court. All the Democrats, everybody's laying down for him and Elon to come in and change all the regulations so they can mow it down with AI and put AI as the boss. Then for Obama to come in and be the evil man. I mean, it's diabolical. Okay, so this morning I had two dreams. One was, I can't remember all of it, but I just wrote down the main point of it. There was a tornado coming, a storm. And we was in this house, okay? And they were hollering, everybody outside now, because the sirens were, you know, playing by the tornadoes here. So as we were exiting the building, there were people dead under our feet by the front door that had died. I knew in the dream that they had died of pestilence. Some form of virus or something. They had died of pestilence. And we were having to step over these bodies. That was really terrible, you know. But we got down there and we all got in safe in from the storm. And then they was able to shut the door before the tornado hit. That was one. Another dream was, there was a car accident. And a car had hit a bridge, and there it was over a river, and this man was flown from the vehicle and was threw into the water and had floated down to the bottom of the water and was looking up as he was drowning, but he was still alive. And it's just that he couldn't fight the weight of the water. And, you know, the injuries that he had sustained. But his mind and everything, he was still there. Then the other person in the car was on top of the bridge and was looking down at the person going down the water. Okay. You know, like they were kind of helpless type of deal. So the guy that was under the water could not communicate to the friend on the bridge. As he was looking up, the friend was looking down, but in other words, he had no more help. So we're going to talk about it this morning, about the non-verbal communication. Okay. Now, seeing beyond the veil, the protection of the Lord in emergency situations. Now here on the farm, we have a 3-day storm approaching today. It's already raging outside. We've already got, you know, winds blowing really fast, and we've got the clouds and you know, the thunder starting to come in. But they're saying that, now this is their prediction, is that for the next 3 days, we have horrific weather coming. Now, you can't make this up, that on Facebook, this man in our community posted a picture of all the chemtrails that were in the sky yesterday. And he said, can somebody explain to me why we have all this? And I had to reply. I said, it's because, you know, they're not supposed to do that. It's illegal in our state, you know, type of deal. But they do. But what you notice is after these chemtrails, we have this horrific, goofy weather. Okay, so they're saying for the next 3 days that we have tornado level. We have the winds that will be horrific. And we have the flooding, 15 inches of rain. That is huge. That's like North Carolina flooding type of level, you know. And so all of these dire predictions are coming about the level of the storm. So Dennis, you know, has been out here getting the farm ready, getting the animals ready, because you just have to. But we know that God spoke to us yesterday and said, you speak to that. We know the enemy has engineered this, right? See, I didn't believe this before because I thought in judgment we had to just allow everything to happen. But God let us know yesterday, no, no, no. You have authority over your possessions and your property. You may not have authority over wicked ones that are going to get it, you know, because of the judgment. But yes, you do have authority. You are a son and a daughter, and you have rights in the kingdom, which we're going to talk about today. So thus, when I walked over here to the office this morning, I immediately started declaring in the name of Jesus, this place is protected. We have a dome over us. It will not touch us. The floods will not affect us. You know, I am partnering with heaven because I know the agenda that they have planned. So God is speaking to us, you know, this week in this 3-day consecration, you know, for us to retrain our brain, to know our authority in Christ, you know, that he's taking us all to the next level, basically is what he's saying. He's taking us to the next level. So this is where we have to understand who we are in him. Okay. I had a dream one time years ago. Now, I just talked to my daughter yesterday, and praise God, we have been restored. We have great communication now. I have with all my kids, actually. I'm very blessed that God has done it. I know it's through all of our fastings, you know, to fight through the evil. But we talked yesterday. We're going to meet now monthly at a town that's halfway in between us, an hour and so many minutes between us. And then we'll have lunch together as girls and get our nails done. So we have an appointment on Tuesday. And my best friend is coming too because she lives in Clarksville as well. So it's going to be a girls' day out on Tuesday. I'm so excited. But in this dream, though, this was years ago, like I'd say 2013, when I was first in the pit. I had a dream that I was walking down. Now, this is back when all my kids had abandoned me and everything. They all rejected me because they thought I went crazy after I graduated with my master's degree. And God shut everything down and put me in the pit. And they thought it was me just refusing to work, and I was being lazy. They didn't see the big picture. But anyway, so I dreamed that I was walking alongside this steep mountain, and I was on a very narrow hiking path on the edge of a mountain. And I was walking with a bunch of Christians, and we was talking about the Lord and all the stuff we do. And I looked over to the right, and there was a beautiful, beautiful pond, you know, crystal clear pond. And I looked down, and there's my daughter. And she is at the bottom of that pond looking up at me. And I thought, oh, she's alive in there. And then there was some keys on her. Some shiny gold keys were on top of her chest. Immediately, I jumped off that cliff, jumped in the water, you know, dove down in the water. I got down to the bottom. I swept my arms up under her body, and I went to push her up, and I didn't have enough strength. And I thought she was dead. And she, see, we used to do cheerleading, and in cheerleading, when you do pyramids, you know, you bounce girls up, but they call them flyers. Well, when you have a flyer in your arms like that, you know, she'll bump her butt to let you know she's ready. And when I was holding my daughter, which I coached her in cheerleading 13 years, okay? When I was holding my daughter, she bumped her butt. And this fire come over me, and I screamed out Jesus in the water in my head. And the Lord gave me the strength to push up with my legs, and I got us out of the water and saved my daughter, you know. So this is all coming together this morning to remind us we are never alone. We have Jesus. If things happen to us and we get put in prisons and they come to arrest us, or whatever happens, if we're in a natural calamity and we end up by ourselves somewhere, we always have a GPS. We're his daughters. We're his sons. We always have communications with heaven. We may not have it in the natural. And the one in heaven's the most important. He knows how to get you out. Like under the water, that man that was under the water, you know, he was down there. He had no way to communicate to his friend that he was still alive. But he can always talk to Jesus, even under the water, because you have your spirits crying out. Okay, so let me finish reading what I wrote in my prayer closet this morning. Okay. We have a storm coming today threatening 15 inches of rain, tornadoes, winds, etc. Yes, we are preparing outside and our animals, but prayer and communication with God is the most important. The man under the water, he cannot communicate to the friend above, but he has Jesus. We have Jesus in all emergencies. In prison, in desert, shelter, etc. He is our protector. One time when I was on that horse farm, when I was writing those two books, Organic Christianity and Clarion Call to Unity and the Bride and Christ, the Garden Twins, I was in a little horse trailer. It's just a metal pot, you know, that's, I think it was 15 foot long. And it had a bed in there and a bathroom. That's all I needed, and a little sink. You know, it's a little travel trailer. And but it was on a horse farm. So I would hear those horses ride by every day, like, whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. Oh, it was so awesome, man. I love watching, you know, them go by. And one day, a storm came. And I was watching the horses out there, you know, lapping up the water with their tongue, the beautiful pond that was next to this trailer. And this huge thunder, like, and the horses looked straight up at the sky like, God, you have our attention. And I was watching them horses, like, oh, it was like eight of them, and they all, their heads went straight up. I was like, wow, this is so cool, you know? And so they all ran to the woods for protection, for the trees to protect them. And I went back in the trailer, and man, this storm came up. I mean, it was like the wind, it felt like a hurricane. It was that level. Like, Shay, I thought I was going to blow away like the Wizard of Oz in there. The only hope I had was Jesus. I got down on my face. I was praying in tongues, boy. Praying in tongues like, Jesus, you're my shelter. You're my shelter. You're my shelter. You know, like, you're all I have. You're all I have. Protect me, Lord. Protect me, Lord. I thank you, Lord, you know, because I felt like a little, you know, a little stick out there in the midst of a huge hurricane. But God kept me and God preserved me. There's a lot of damage to the farm, but God protected me. That trailer didn't go anywhere, you know. But the point is that God is going to protect us. You're never alone is the key. So everybody turn your Bible this morning to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Lord, we just thank you so much for your word this morning, Lord. Your word is our sustainer of life, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for receiving the bread. Your word says that Jesus is the bread. Jesus is the word. We thank you, Lord, for consuming your word this morning as we're fasting. And this is our meal today. This is our meal. We're about to eat at the table with Jesus. He says in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man come in, I will come in. I will sup with him. What does that mean, sup? It means to sit down and have a dinner, have a meal. And that's what we're doing. We're sitting down with the Lord right now, and we're having a meal, and that's his word. So, 1 John chapter 2. Let's see here. Let me get my notes here. Okay. My little children, remember yesterday when he gave us that letter, he said, my children. That's how he addressed us, and he's talking to us again this morning. These things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Okay, Jesus is our advocate. He is the veil. This is what the Bible college students are learning, how powerful it is with the tabernacle. He is the veil. He is that door to get in. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. You know, that's how you know love. Because Dennis, which I told you guys, you know, Dennis is my modern day Paul. And God trained me to be a wife through being his wife. Because then I learned to trust and obey. So Dennis, when he tells me what to do, I obey and I don't buck him. I have bucked him one time, but I, you know, repented later. I forgot what it was over, but. And I especially know his voice. When he's serious and he tells me to do something, I know him. You see what I'm saying? That's my whole point of this is, you know, if you know God and you really love him, you will want to obey him. That's why I was doing my repenting yesterday, because there is some areas I'm not obeying him in, which is my body. And I asked God yesterday, God, please, I don't know what this is. I don't. I'm married to the most skinniest, you know, the most healthiest man you'll ever know, you know, who is all about health. And I have a rebellion in my heart towards my own self. You know, I want, you know, it's like the way Paul says, you want to do better, but you just don't. You know, it's like that. This is that is my body. It's something, I don't know. So I was repenting yesterday. God help me to overcome my own self. And I know there's one issue I have is that I am so driven, meaning, you know, I'm kind of one track minded type of person. Like, it's not that I'm OCD, but it's kind of that way a little bit, as far as I can't stand to start something, not finish, you know? So I told you the story of what Dennis did to me with the cards. He set me up one day in this thrift store. This is a good example of how I am. All right, here's Dennis. So he knows how I am. We go in this thrift store, and there's a table there. We love deals, and they had these cards. You could get 10 for a dollar. Well, we love mailing cards to people, and so Dennis is like, man, this is so cool, but you got to sort and find all of the envelopes to match them. There was like 1,000 cards, okay? So we're looking and looking, and, you know, I'm thinking we're working together. Well, Dennis walks off. It was like he put me in a mental prison. Now I'm stuck with this puzzle, trying to find the envelopes. And an hour later, I caught on to what Dennis had done. What he had done. And I looked at him, I said, darn you. You knew I could not leave this table until I found all the envelopes. Oh, we laughed about that until the cows come home. Well, we go up to the counter after me finding all the envelopes. We go up there and pay for it, and that woman says, ma'am, I hate to tell you, but you only got 9. And all of this was only for a dollar. I thought that woman. I said, I refuse to go back and try to find another envelope. We'll take the 9. Oh, man, that was so funny. But anyway. I can't even remember why I was telling you that. Because Dennis knows me. He knows. He knows I can't start something. But anyway, going back to my body, though. So I was asking the Lord, please help me to overcome myself and to focus on myself. See, that's my problem, is I don't want to focus on myself. Improving myself. You know, I'm so into, you know, what I do and everything and helping others. But, so anyways, y'all pray with me on that, because when the Lord gave me that dream last year about, you know, the enemy's plans towards me and how, they're going to use me as an example when they martyr me. And that's what they're going to use against me, is my body. The fact that I'm a fat woman. First of all, it's going to be a negative that I'm a woman, preacher. And then second of all, the fact that I'm fat. So I hate it that I've even got that door open. So help me. This is what this 3-day fast is for, is to help me close that door. It just takes, like, a lot of effort, a lot, you know. But anyway, so just pray for me on that. Okay, so going back to the word here. Verse 3, though, it says, and hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that says, I know him and keeps not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keeps his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. Yes, Carla, that is my personality. That's true. Okay, so go down to verse 8. It says, again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is the past, and the true light now shines. He that says he's in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hates his brother is in darkness, and walks in darkness, and knows not where he goes, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. So I do want to show you this. Go over to verse 19 talking about loving and hating brothers. Okay. It says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. So, in other words, the apostles, they casted out a lot of people that had devils working through them. And is that love? Yes. Why is that love? Because he's putting them over to Satan. They think they know it all, and then let Satan prove you. Do you see what I mean? That is love. See, a lot of people don't understand that it's a hard love. Okay, here's another example. You take a child, you love your child, but God tells you to whip that child. Now, how does that make sense? Because you're bringing pain to a person. But you're whipping them. Why? Because it's good for them in the end. It whips that rebellion out of them. And that's what the apostles did to people that were rebellious in the church. They kicked them out. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? So, it doesn't reflect that a minister doesn't have love because they don't put up with shenanigans. It is the people that won't, honor them and stuff. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? But anyways, this kind of showed that to me this morning because the Lord, he'll give me dreams about people. You know, he'll show me like this one woman I had really close to me and I had helping me in the ministry. God sent me a dream and told me, you know, that they were backstabbing us. And I was like, what? So the very place that he told me to look, there it was. So then I confronted them and booted them out of the ministry. I told them, I said, thank God that God let me know. You know, spies in the camp. I've had many people be spies in the camp over the years. They have come to the office, like when I had that office in Winchester, and they would bring cameras. I had Trump send a lady. Yes, I did. This woman was a witch if I ever seen one. Oh, man. She would show up because everybody's always known I need help, okay? And this is how the enemies come after me, is sending me people to help that have ulterior motives. Well, this is one of the women. And she would come and she would, you know, walk through all my offices and she would say, she drove all the way a couple of states over and she's like, you know, I just don't have any money to stay anywhere tonight. So then I opened up my home to this woman. This has been one of my flaws is I'm very generous. I'm very open with my life. So I'm very transparent and I still invite people to here. So I invite her to the house. And so then she would leave weird every time. She did it like two or three times. And she would leave weird like in the middle of the night or just something stupid, you know. And she showed up one time, and the Lord spoke to me and said, this woman is a witch. And I was like, why didn't you tell me that to begin with? You know what I'm saying? So I told Brock. I said, Brock, I just want you to know the Lord told me this woman is a witch, so please do not allow her back. But see, Brock had a different philosophy of things than the way I do. You know, he didn't care, in other words. And so he let her back in. And he, it was the day that I was moving out and moving down here to the farm, and here she come. And to Brock, my son, oh, she was nice as all get out, like sliced bread, just so nice and kind to him. But I walked straight up to her. I looked her straight in the eyes. And I said, what are you doing here? And she goes, you stay away from me, and walked off. I was like, you're in my house, woman. But she ended up manifesting herself. Those demons in her ended up manifesting. And then Brock saw that what I was saying was true. And then we got rid of the woman. You know, the witches. I mean, it's diabolical. But anyway. So anyways. When she came up to me, I told her, I said, I know who you are. And she said, what do you mean? I said, I researched you. Y'all know I'm a researcher. I said, I researched you. I said, you're Trump's right-hand man. And she said, leave me alone. That's why she walked off. She had, when I researched her, she went to Trump's ball with a governor who was married. You know, just goofy. But anyway, I'm not telling you names, so I'm not talking about it. Y'all don't know who I am, but I'm just trying to tell you how they come against me. Okay, so let's move on here. Okay, go down to verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth and no lie, and even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. And if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that does righteousness is of God. So, in other words, their life should reflect, you know, a life of righteousness. Okay, let's move over now to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you? Boy, we could say that today, couldn't we? All of you Americans, what are you doing being bewitched? You're bewitched right now. That's exactly what's happening. This only would I learn of you. Receive you by the Spirit, by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? This is something God wants you guys to be reassured of again today, is that you walk in grace, not by the law. It is faith. And are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? See, that flesh is the law. It still goes back to Ishmael and Isaac. See, I used to think that Isaac was the Jews and Ishmael was the Muslims, but it's not true. That's what Zionists want you to believe, but it's not the truth. The truth is that the flesh was the circumcision of the flesh, which was the law. The the spirit is the faith which is of Jesus. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain? He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, does it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? See, this is the tragedy of what's happening with people going back to the law and stopping saying the name of Jesus and going to Yeshua HaMashiach and all that other stuff, the Hebrew names. They get away from the power. There's power in the name of Jesus. Okay, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. All right, now let's go back. Abraham accords. They're saying that the root of all faith is Abraham. Abraham is the father of faith, there's no doubt. But they're trying to put Ishmael as their version of Muslim under Abraham. So thus the Jews do not consider them anti-Semitic. Isn't that the craziest thing you've ever heard of? The very ones they're in a war with, they say, because they're killing them and they're doing all this, are the ones that they're saying is not anti-Semitic. But the Christians, who are just peaceful living Christians, they ain't out here killing all of these Jews because they're Jews and actually have it in their book that they hate the Jews, like, the way that the Quran says that they hate the Jews, so thus they kill them. Do y'all see the oxymoron here? It's because of their Zionist deal. But this is where Abraham comes in. Like, even those houses over there in Dubai, you know, they're called the Abraham houses. It's the Jews, the Christians, which is the Catholics, their version of Christians. And Muslims, Jews, and Christians fall all under Abraham is what they're trying to say. But it's the Catholic version of Christianity, which is not the real Christians. Okay. The real Christians are the real heirs of Abraham as well. We are adopted in. We are grafted in. Okay. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith, which are Christians, are blessed with faithful Abraham. Everybody lift your hands. Say, in the name of Jesus, I am blessed. I have the seed of Abraham and the blessings of Abraham. I am adopted into the kingdom through the blood of Jesus Christ. I am a son or a daughter of the King. In Jesus' name, amen. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. See, this is why they want to kill my man Paul. They want to kill him. There are so many Noahides out there on YouTube debunking Paul, it's pathetic. They can't stand this man because he talks like this. He's the author of this book, and he is saying, you cannot go back to the law, people. The law kills. And it does. Have you seen people that go back to Hebrew roots? You know what happens to them? They become prideful. There's a look about them. It's a prideful, haughty, no humility about them. Look. they think they know it all. They call themselves messengers, yada, yada. But it's a curse. They're hanging Jesus on the cross again. Because Jesus sets us free. This is what faith is. Jesus fulfilled all the law, the feast, everything. He fulfilled it. It is done. Now we have a different covenant, a different reason for moving, a different reason for being. Now he goes above that. Did those people back in those days, the Israelites, operate in signs, miracles, and wonders? No. Did they go out for salvation, for people to get saved, healed, and delivered? No. Why? Because their covenant was different. Their covenant was with God the Father. And their covenant was to be his people and to be a light. That's all. They was not out trying to convert people to Judaism and all that. They were called to be separate. Their line was not to be tainted. They were called to be just that. Obey me and that's it. You're a light. That's all. But with Jesus, it's faith. Now it's a whole different covenant. Now it's a, you're a world changer. You are a Jesus. You are, he says, greater things than these you will do. You are in him now because why? You have the Holy Ghost on the inside of you that gives you that power to be able to be a witness. And what are you converting them to? To the law? No. To the first covenant? No. You are converting them to what? Jesus. It's faith. It's a relationship. It's a life-changing GPS direction change. Out of darkness into the light. Taking people back to the law is taking them back to an old darkness. Bringing them out of the light. If so, what would be the whole purpose of Jesus coming and giving faith? For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It's evident. That's why God divorced them. Nobody can live under that. This is the blessing of Jesus. The blessing of what he is. All that he is. The whole big picture of Jesus. The creator. The word. He is, was, and is to come. That's Jesus. The law is not of faith. The just shall live by faith. Verse 11. Then verse 12 says, and the law is not of faith, but the man that does them shall live in them. In other words, if you want to live a life where you are bound by the law, where it's eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth, that's the life you're going to get. You're not going to get the signs, miracles, and wonders. This is what I tell people when they get involved in those Hebrew roots. That's the kind of life you want. That's what you're going to get. It's going to be the law as a schoolmaster. This is what they want to take everybody back to. But it's not God's holy law of the Ten Commandments they're wanting to take people to. It's a made-up Talmud vomit they're wanting to take people to. It's a man-controlling slavery deal. And it's very sad to say that a lot of Christians are falling for it because of the Zionist love for Israel. So they feel like they're really honoring God by going down this Noahide law path And the fact that all these ministries, all these YouTube people out here are debunking Christianity so much that they've given up on it. This is where I feel like my fight and plight has been so different on YouTube, because I'm fighting all these beasts out here that have hundreds of thousands of followers. And I've only got, you know, 350. And I'm trying to tell these people, no, you don't want to go back to all that Hebrew root stuff. That's not the true Christianity, people. You know, so I've been a lone wolf out here. Not wolf, but you know what I mean, a lone person speaking about what the true Christianity is. So if you take all of these, you know, that are writing about how Christianity, the way that these preachers are doing it are wrong, which is true, but we don't give up on Jesus, we don't give up on Christianity. These people, there's been weak Christians out there that have just given up on Christendom, you know, and they have went to the law because that's something they can count on. It's a cookie cutter pattern, a law. You know, they totally neglected and left faith. This is why I was telling you guys, in this end time scenario, if you do not choose to be the change and to do what is right before others, then who is? Because we can't expect it. We're not in them days anymore. That TBN, CBN, all these people are going to do it because they have the platforms. That, you know, and all these people out here in Hillsong and, you know, these millions of followers, we cannot expect them to do it right. We've got to do it right. In our little circle of influence, even if it's two or three people, we got to show them what real faith is. And God's going to give you that chance with all of these things that are happening in the earth for you to be a light to people, to your husband, even if it's only your husband, only your friend at work, if it's only one person, if that will help them to cross over through this tribulation time and not cave to the beast, then you have done a great job. Verse 12, and the law is not of faith, but the man that does them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He was made that curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You know, I think about Peter. When Peter the Apostle, you know, when he was on the rooftop and, you know, he had just been filled with the Holy Ghost and everything. And, you know, he was wanting to go minister to the people, but he had a really hard time with Gentiles. Because in his culture and in his mind, you know, they were the sinful people. They were the others. Remember, in the old covenant, you had the tribes of Israel. They were set apart. They were the elite, basically, if you could put it like that. They were the elite, the chosen ones, yada, yada. So everybody else was just everybody else. So now Jesus is saying, I'm going to fill you with the Holy Ghost, and now I want you to go after that everybody else, those others. So Peter's having a problem with this. So God gives him a dream, and he tells him in the dream, Peter, don't call unclean what I have called clean. Isn't that beautiful? Because Jesus was the Lamb. He was the one that was slain to make those others even a possibility to be able to get into the elite, to get into the chosen ones. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He opened that door so that now they can walk through the tabernacle and they can have that sacrifice and that blood over them, where they can now enter into the Holy of Holies and actually have a relationship with the Creator. It is the biggest miracle this world has ever seen, what Jesus did as the Lamb. Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That's the Holy Ghost. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannuls or adds thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. In other words, the law cannot touch Jesus. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. So can we say God gave it to Abraham by Jesus, the promise? Wherefore, then serve the law. It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come. Oh man, I'm about to run around this room, room. Who's that seed? Jesus. Boy, this is giving y'all some good content for your essay you got to write this week about Jesus in the tabernacle. Jesus was that seed, that he would come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Oh, I just want to cry. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Do you believe this morning, bride? Are you a believer in the one true and only Jesus that you may die for in the coming days, like the apostles did back in Jesus' day? This is the one you have to know. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. In other words, remember yesterday when God talked to us and he said, you know, there's a time to die and there's a time to live. There's a time to be silent and there's a time to be loud. There's a time that Jesus was not to be revealed, and there was a time for him to be revealed. And now there's a time that the Holy Spirit is being revealed. That's the age we live in now. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Isn't that beautiful? But after that faith has come, we are no longer a schoolmaster, for we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you that have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Isn't that beautiful? So this is another thing you need to know of the difference of the old covenant versus the new covenant. They didn't do baptism back then. Baptism came with Jesus. Every one of you have got to get baptized. If you have not been baptized, you need to be baptized this summer. You know, I told you guys that I was thinking about hosting an event here on the farm. You know, I was thinking about it this summer, and we could do baptism. We have a beautiful river here we can do it in, or we can do it in our pond. We have a pond on the farm that is pure spring water. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. That's where I was praying yesterday, right by the pond under a beautiful cedar tree. You know, those, we had 4 cedar trees in the front yard when we first moved here. That was really terrible. They were hanging over the house, and they just needed to go, believe me. So we had them cut down, and Dennis kept the trees, and he sawed himself. He has a mill, a sawmill. It's a machine where he can cut up trees and make wood slabs. That's what our fence is made of, is those cedar trees that were in the front yard. And that fence is a showstopper, let me tell you. People ride by, they'll slow down, take pictures. I mean, his fence is truly phenomenal. You know, but that's why people, you know, want to hire him, because he is a miracle worker with his hands. He can come up with the most unique solutions to problems in building. You know, even if it's a stick holding a stick. I mean, just his way of doing it is so funny. That's why I was telling him, you admire me for my brain on technology and all this stuff out here, but I admire your brain in building. I let Dennis be himself, because Dennis is Dennis, and I want him to be all God has made him to be. You know, and God has caused me to love him just the way he is, the way he looks and everything. Like he has caused him to love me the way I look. It goes both ways, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, but the point is, the whole reason I was saying that is, we could do a baptism at this event. If y'all want to come and be rebaptized, because remember I told you I was wanting to do it kind of like a Christian Bonnaroo, but really it's like an old-fashioned Brush Arbor revival, a real revival. A prayer, worship, good hold down preaching, people getting delivered, praying for people for hours till they get overcome, yada, yada. Oh, how that is my heart's desire. I wanted to do that back in Georgia on Brock's farm, but I just never could. I never could get it going, because me and Brock, we wasn't in one accord on our belief system. But it's okay. I mean, Brock, he's God's man too. He just has a different direction that God has led him in. The same with me, and I love him in spite. You know what I mean? But anyway, so I would really like to do that. But the problem is finding worship groups that would come out here knowing what I do. That's going to be a challenge. Because if they have chosen their patriotism over God, they wouldn't like me. So that does bring a challenge. So let's pray about it and see. Because we definitely have the land. I would have to charge, because we'd have to get some equipment and stuff. But it would be so fun. Oh, man. I mean, people could camp out here till the cows come home. In the back of our property, right next to the pond, we have a beautiful open field that I had mowed for 3 years. And I was walking that field praying yesterday, thinking, thank God I mowed you for 3 years, because now the grass is starting to look pretty. you know, before it was just field. I was mowing a field. It was, you know, about tore up the lawnmower, but now it's at a good place. Okay, well, then in the back, there's another one back there that's beautiful, just flat land, nobody around, just all in the woods. But beautiful place where we could have, you know, thousands of people here, really. I mean, it's that big. So, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I don't trust anybody else. If we're going to do it, I'd rather do it where we could, you know, kind of vet the people we're bringing in. Anyway, amen, Carla. Carla's like, let's do it. Dennis would love it. The only thing is we'd have to pay to get that driveway. That'd be the biggest expense, I think. We have the driveway going up where they could drive through, but we have to finish it to get to the back, basically is what it is. All right, so let's continue here. So there is, in verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. Neither male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Because as I was saying about the baptism, see, the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant is the, one of them is the baptism. Because when you get baptized, that old identity leaves. That worldly who you was when you was a tree born into this garden, is now going under the water to receive this in him. And basically, if you could look at it like this, when you come up out of that water, you are covered in gold. You now have a new garment, a new covering, a gold covering, a seal, a protector, you know. You're now in him. You're in the light, the true light. And if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So now we are heirs. Okay. You have to know in that chapter that you are of God. And you are the modern day children of Israel in this new covenant. You have all the access to the blessings. And this is why they don't like us. And then I want to encourage you in this. I wrote this in my journal. You're never alone. You are in him. You have a GPS at all times. You are marked. You are an heir of the kingdom. You are of another world. Now that you are in him, you have a new light that shines in you. It's called the true light. And then in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, it says, love not the world, nor the things in the world. When a person truly gets saved and they get baptized, they should be different. This is why I said that about all these people, you know, these big stars that say they get saved and they're still singing in a rock and roll band with all their stuff. And you ain't telling me nothing. You know, you should see the change. They should abandon their idols. You know, that's the first thing that happens when people get saved. They immediately turn down their idols. Okay, another note about Galatians 3 is that verse 5 talks about the law versus faith. There is a difference of the two covenants. Verse 13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. 14 says that the blessings of Abraham, light came through to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Why? So that we could receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Verse 27, when you get baptized, you are putting on Christ. When it says putting on Christ, this is what I wrote in my prayer closet this morning. You now are being placed with this new garment called the priestly garment. All of you Bible college students, write that down. When you get baptized, it represents you receiving your priestly garment. You're tearing off the old, putting on the new. No more identity of who you was before. This is why we cannot get caught up in social justice or the ways of the world when they want to say, you know, Black Lives Matter, and then they want you to jump in there because you're black. And they want you to go along with all their agenda. But the truth of that agenda is they hijacked it by the LGBT. It has nothing to do with being black. It has to do with their hatred of Christians, their rebellion. That's why their logo is the fist. It's a rebellion. It's pulling all the colors of evil together against the white light, which is Christianity. So we can't get caught up in the world's justice, where they try to use your identity of the world in a unified manner. Because we don't have that identity anymore. We're neither Jew nor Greek, red, yellow, black, or white, or nothing. We're in Him. We are brothers and sisters in the kingdom together. Nobody's better than anybody else. Okay, we are now in Him. We are adopted. We have Abraham's covenant and we have Abraham's seed. Now let's go to Galatians 4. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed by the Father. So in other words, there's a process until you get matured. You have to go through the process. You got to love the process. This is when I wrote my book, From the Pit to the Palace. That's what that was. The process. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Okay, let's go back to my dream of the man under the water. If that man was under the water without Jesus, that's one thing. The law kills. But with him having Jesus, the possibilities are endless. Jesus could have brought an angel down there to get him out of that water. There's angels have done a lot of stuff. Angels have actually brought cars through other cars without any damage. I've heard the reports time and time again. I interviewed a family. They was actually my cousin up in Michigan. Or no, they was in Indiana. Where they were having a head-on collision. The daughter was in the back. She was 4 years old in her car seat. A head-on collision with a semi. And an angel spoke to that daughter and said, it's going to be okay, and wrapped the wings around her. That's what she said. And the angel shielded the daughter, and she did not get one inch of hurt on her. The sad thing is, both of the parents were, to this day, still damaged pretty bad. Severe back problems, all kinds of issues they had. But that daughter, that ain't, now of course they wonder why God didn't protect them too. But it is what it is. God, you know, He knows why. So that man being under the water, though, you know, with him having Jesus, the possibilities are endless. And we have to know that in these storms and all the things that are going to be hitting us from this point forward, we have to know that we have GPS at all times. That God knows where we're at. He knows we're under this water and we're drowning. We scream out the name of Jesus, put it all in his hands, and the will of the Lord be done. Like I said in the trailer, I'm on the floor praying in tongues, you know, believing God to protect me. The will of the Lord be done, but we have him at all times. Okay, and let's continue here. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Isn't that beautiful? Therefore, you are no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when you knew of God, not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. In other words, like when you work for somebody in the world, you work for them because you receive a payment. You have to, right? That's what he's saying here. But now, after you have known God, and are rather known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? The law! Why go back to Hebrew roots, people? You're hanging Jesus on the cross again. See, living the life of faith, it does require a lot. It requires you to follow that candle in the darkness, you know, and it will require suffering. Because you're suffering, meaning having to have patience and wait on God. Wait on his answers. Wait on the fulfillment. You know, that is faith. That's where your miracles are, see? Okay, so let's go back to this. Wherefore, you are no more a servant, but a son and an heir through God, through Christ. Howbeit then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days, months, and times, and years. You know, talking about going back to the feast and observing those things. I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you. Now, I just want to say this because I have a feeling I have people saying, this is wrong of her to speak against the feast. I just want to clarify this, okay? It's not against the feast. It is fulfilling of the feast. It's a big difference. Jesus fulfilled it all, like the Sabbath day. In the New Testament, it says don't judge people by what day they choose as the Sabbath day. Why is that? Because Jesus is the Sabbath day. Jesus is all. He has fulfilled it all. This is where faith comes in. The law is rigid. It's a rigid schoolmaster, and it robs you of your faith, because faith is joy and peace, because you trust. It's like you have, okay, law is flesh because you work. It's a works mentality. I do this, thus I get this. Yada, yada. But faith is, okay, Lord, I'm trusting. You're telling me to do this. I'm going. I don't understand it. because he's taking you into the world of having a Holy Ghost, having a guide that's going to lead you in the darkness, but is going to show you such miracles as the way Jesus did. See, Jesus walked among them so that he can be the example. That's all it was. He was the lamb that was slain, but he was also an example to us of how it should be done. You know, because he says, I am, you know, you are going to do more than what I did. You know, but it has to be through faith. You cannot do all the miracles, signs, and wonders going back to the law. The law is the flesh. It is self-centered, meaning it's a taskmaster, because now you have all of these rigid rules and you think everybody else should live by these rigid rules. It robs you of your grace and it robs you of your faith. So now when you have Jesus, when you get baptized, you take on a new identity. It's freedom. This is the real freedom. Because Jesus is your mediator, right? So he's the one that, you know, is fighting for you with God. Like when you sin, like in the tabernacle deal, when you sin, you go to Jesus. You ask for forgiveness. Jesus is the sacrifice that was made for you. So now you can say, Father, I sinned. And in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you to forgive me, because Jesus, this is what I was doing in the prayer closet yesterday, a lot of repentance. You know, but I couldn't do that if I, you know, was back in the days of the law. Jesus, because the law, if you was to go back to the law, then you're back in the tabernacle. You're all the way back. You're all the way back, and you have forgot all about why Jesus came and the joy of what he did for you to bring us away from the tabernacle. Because now the tabernacle, Jesus said, I'm going to die so that in 3 days I will be resurrected. This temple will be raised in 3 days. A miracle happened. The most miraculous thing happened when he died. The veil was torn in that tabernacle, which means now there's no restrictions to God. The tabernacle moved within the human body. Miracle came within. Now the Holy of Holies is within us. The kingdom of God is within. Remember back when Moses and all of them used to walk around with the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant represented God and the kingdom. That was in the Holy of Holies, inside the tabernacle. But see, now we are the tabernacle. The Holy of Holies, which contained what? The Ten Commandments, the law. If we don't accept Jesus and what he did for us on the cross, that law would still be outside. It wouldn't be inside anymore. Because Jesus came to bring that temple inside. The Holy of Holies is now in. The tabernacle is within. So now, what is within the Holy of Holies? What is within the Ark of the Covenant? You have the Ten Commandments. It's now within us. We have the rod that budded. What is that? Miracles. What else? We have the manna. What is that? The bread. The bread of life. Jesus is the bread. The rod is like the vine. Jesus is the vine. Jesus is the law. He's the word of God. Ooh, I just feel God so much. Oh, I'm just so grateful. So grateful that he's within us now. The tabernacle is within. So see, who was worthy to carry, the Ark of the Covenant? Who was it? Was it not the Levites who were the ones who were responsible for taking care of that tabernacle, correct? See, God's really ministering to me right now because we are the Levites. This is why we have the priestly garment. This is what the full armor of God is. It's that priestly garment. It's that identity that we are the priests, the sons and daughters of God. We have the jewels on our chest, which represents the tribes of Israel. Because we are the modern day Levites. We manage, this is why we got to guard our temple like Fort Knox. Got to guard that blood. We got to guard that Ark of the Covenant that's in there. You see. Let me get back to the word here. Whew, that's so good this morning. Okay. Brethren, I beseech you, verse 12, be as I am, for I am as you are. You have not injured me at all. You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached unto the gospel unto you at the first. Okay, let's see. Okay, verse 21. Tell me, you that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by the bondmaid and one by the free woman. See, this is what showed me the difference between Ishmael and Isaac, the way that Zionism teaches it versus the way the Bible really says it. There is a difference. He who was of the bondwoman, which was Ishmael, right? Was born after the flesh. That was a fleshly act for Abraham and Sarah to say, for Sarah to tell Abraham, I want you to have sex with my handmaiden because I cannot. So by the flesh was born a child through the handmaiden. But he of the free woman, which is Sarah, which was Isaac, was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, key. The one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar, the flesh, Ishmael. This is good. This is good doctrine for you guys this morning. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Now, Jerusalem, that's a whole nother sermon there, because Jerusalem is not what you see today. Jerusalem's in heaven. Jerusalem is going to come down. See, here's the difference, okay? There is a difference of theology right now that the NAR teaches Zionists, basically. What they teach is preterist view, okay? Most of them do. Some of them teach pre-rapture, but most of them teach the preterist. What is that guy? Somebody talked to me about him yesterday. He preaches the preterist view. Chuck Baldwin. You know, he preaches against the Noahide laws and stuff like that, but he's a preterist. So what good is it? Because here's what a preterist believes. A preterist believes everything happened in 70 AD, which means right after Jesus. Okay, with the Romans. They believe it all happened back then. So they believe that there is no Antichrist coming. There's no Mark of the Beast coming. There's no tribulation. There's no millennial reign. They believe that Satan is loosed right now, like the millennial reign's already happened. So they believe he's just loosed right now for a certain time, and then they're getting ready for the kingdom. So that's why they teach the Seven Mountain Mandate, because they believe that they are preparing this earth for Jesus to come back, but it's a false doctrine. Because it goes back to the first covenant, which is why you see all these NAR people partnering with these Zionists and stuff, which they're Zionists, but they're teaching everybody, don't mess with the first covenant. Don't you dare tell people they have to get saved. Don't tell these Jews that. They tell them when they go to Israel, you are not allowed to proselytize in the name of Jesus. You honor that first covenant, because all these people believe in the first covenant. See, this is why the people that are real Christians are going to be killed, because they believe in this Bible, the New Testament, what Jesus did, the grace, and these covenant that Jesus brought. They do not, absolutely do not believe that. So this is a war. They believe 70 AD, that all of it happened back then, that it is not happening right now. So when they're out here and they're teaching and they're exposing stuff, it's only because of their view of evil is here. It's not the view of this is the mark of the beast, people. This is the jab is the mark. They don't believe any of that stuff. You know, they don't. Which is really tragic when you look at it, because all they're doing is pushing people right into the beast. Because they're not warning them, they're not telling them, they're not, you know, it's really a sad, sad thing. Now let's go back to the word. And then it says Jerusalem is the mother of Azal. Okay, that right there kind of answers a question for me. Everybody says, who is Jesus' mother? Is it Jerusalem? I know it sounds funny, but let's go down this road a minute. I told you there's a woman on YouTube who says that the Holy Spirit is the mother. That they're a triune being because they're a family. The Father, the wife, and the Son. That's what she really believes. And she has scripture to back up what she says. But she's greatly persecuted. I don't go down that road because I don't know if it really matters, really. But I've always recognized the Holy Spirit as a he. Okay. But anyway, in her point of view, she states that the Bible does refer to wisdom as a woman. It does. So the Holy Spirit is wisdom. So she says that that's why that is the mother of Jesus, the wife of God. The family unit is one, which is the way it is in the natural. Okay, another theory is, which I just thought of this right now. Okay, Jerusalem is the mother of us all. Jerusalem is up in heaven. Jerusalem is a city. Okay. Now, Brock, whenever he went to heaven and Jesus showed him around, I was shocked to discover how many cities were actually in heaven. You know, it's like, wow, okay, you know, that's really a shocker. But it makes sense if you got streets of gold, what are the streets for? You know, type of deal. And then you got the mansions, you know, the people's mansions. Okay, so Jerusalem is the holy city. It's kind of like the way when you read about what the millennial reign is going to be like, when Jerusalem comes down, okay, it is going to be the new tabernacle. All of you ones studying the tabernacle, listen to this one. When the new Jerusalem comes down, it is the modern day new version of the tabernacle. Because Jesus lights the city. All the humans like us the ones that go to heaven and they're on the sea of glass, all of those that are given their priestly garments and all their, you know, they receive a new garment when they're standing on the sea of glass, the ones that are martyred and whatnot, they are the kings and priests of that city. Okay? I guess because they have endured through such horrible things or whatever. I don't know. But they're the kings and priests over there. They are in the new tabernacle. The new Jerusalem is the new tabernacle. We are now living in him. Right now, he's living in us. But there is going to be a transfer in that period where we all move in him. See, go back to the beginning in the first tabernacle. God was in the earth in a veiled room inside an ark. You know, and you would see the incense go up into heaven. You know, but that was him coming down to the earth to reveal himself. But then he moved in us, and in the end of times, we move in him. You know, but so if you think about it, that Jerusalem is the mother of us all. That is the mother that is housing us. It's going to be, it's interesting. Okay, so we'll see one day, huh? Verse 27. For it is written, rejoice thou barren that bears not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolation has many more children than she that has a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. You are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. And that's what we're living in right now. Those that are living for the flesh, the law, is persecuting those that live by faith, Christians, because of the second covenant. They do not like this covenant. It's just the way it is. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. We are of the free, see. So we are grafted in. Isaac is the promise. Ishmael is the flesh. That is Edom, by the way. By the way. When they use that term free Edom, this is what they're talking about. Free Edom. They consider themselves Edom, Esau, and we are Jacob, the promise. So there you go. There is your word for this morning. So let me read you my notes and then we'll be done. I will not be able to open the prayer calls today, but I will tomorrow because I have to go out of town. Okay, so Galatians 4, no more a servant, but a son and an heir. So, once again, just to reiterate this morning about communications, the way that we started. The Lord is confirming to us, you need to be baptized. You need to make sure of who you are in Christ. So you need to be baptized so that you can accept his in him, you know, and then you need to know that you are an heir in the kingdom. You are a king and a priest. You have authority. And you're going to learn more about this authority as we go forward. One is over the weather, over your home, your possessions. You speak to that thing and do not fear. You speak to that thing and say, in the name of Jesus, I command you to not touch my property. My property is of the Lord. I am an heir of the kingdom. I am of another world. So you're destroying this world. You go right over top of me because I'm not of this world. And that's how you have to see this bride. because you are a royal priesthood and a holy nation. You are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. You are a child of the Most High God. You are blessed and highly favored. Do you understand? You are beautiful. You are called of the Lord. You know, you are full of hope. Okay, let's go back to the man that's under the water. If he didn't have Jesus, if he didn't have his GPS tracker on him at all times, he would be destitute under that water, wouldn't he? But those that have Jesus, whether you're in prison, whether you're under that water, no matter what is facing you, you're being watched. You have angels all around you. You know, I have told you stories of angels and how they have stopped people from popping me in the jaw twice. One of them, I was in a prayer meeting with this girl that, you know, her mother just hated me because I was Pentecostal. So she kept threatening me, you stay away from my daughter. She'd use the F word and everything. And she, you know, would have her Baptist preacher come against the daughter all the time. So one day, I was having a prayer meeting in her house, and I had all these women. There's about 12 women there. Now, we was all around this living room, dining room area against the walls. And we was having a really good time in the Lord. And I said, wait a minute. I feel angels. We have angels here. They are like 30 foot tall. These angels are huge. They got huge flaming swords. They're here right now. Next thing you know, boy, that front door slams open. Bam! Here, it was my mother-in-law. And she come in, and she saw me on the floor. I was directly in front of that door on the floor. And she screamed to the top of her lungs. She goes, I told you to stay away from my daughter, and I meant it. And she walked over there, reared that fist back, and went, bam, right towards my nose. An angel blocked that hand about 2 or 3 inches from my nose. And she was pushing against this force to hit my nose. And she couldn't do it. Her eyes got as big as saucers. And she screamed to the top of her lungs and ran out of that room in fear. And all of them women sitting there was like, what was this? I said, did I not tell you that we had angels in this room? That these angels are here protecting us? Yes. One time I was in a storm with my kids. All my kids, you know, they was like 6 years old and younger. I had 3 kids. Now, picture this, being 25 with 3 kids like this. But anyway, I got married at 16, had my first kid when I was almost 18. But anyway, okay, so we had this storm coming. Now, we lived in this valley. It was on this street called Smiley Hollow. That's right, in the state of Tennessee, don't you say nothing, New York. Anyway, we lived on this street called Smiley Hollow, and it was like in a valley between two mountains. So here comes this old tornado. Boy, this thing was barreling down the valley, coming right towards our house. So me and the kids got in the closet. Now, I told you we lived in this old trailer. It was a big triple-wide trailer, and I mean, it could have ragged that thing up like a rag doll, you know what I'm saying? So we got in the closet, and I was like, come on, kids, let's pray. And we just pray, God, we just thank you, Lord, for protecting us from this tornado. We command you to go over this house. You leave us alone, yada, yada. So the kids see their mama believing God to protect us in the middle of this terrible storm that was shaking the house. You can hear a tornado. You know, we live in Tornadoville, you know. You can hear it coming because it sounds like a freight train. And here it comes, the wind blowing, howling to hell and all this other stuff. And do you know that sucker blew right over the trailer? It blew right over us. When we got finished, we walked out, and it had hit every house on that street but ours. Tore roofs off and everything, yes. My kids got to see the hand of the Lord. Yes, they did. So God has protected us many times, and angels too. So it is very real who we are in Christ and how we are protected And the difference of being the darkness and the light, like Dee from New York was telling you when she was out to eat, and this demon that was in this man walked by, and he turned around and he stared at her because he couldn't stand the light that was shining from me, from her. And so he started gazing in. Can you imagine this man, big burly man, walks by and he turns around and he starts gazing at you like his eyes wide as saucers, leaning in towards you, you know, just like you're freaking out, like, what the world is this man doing? So he goes to the bathroom. Well, he comes back and he stops right in front of him and he goes, I'm telling you who I am. You think you're God. I am God. Yeah, he's addressing that light, that demon. So, of course, she rebuked him and he left. But we're going to see this. This is what I believe God was telling us in that word yesterday. About you're going to have more demons manifest themselves around you. And you're going to have to address them. You're going to have to tell them. Remember that time that I had this woman? She was bound up in sexual sin. She was my best friend. This is when I was in college. And she was a director at the college. And, you know, she was bound up in sexual sin, sleeping with men like the way I used to be. So I ain't judging, you know. And, but she saw me get saved and everything and stop my lifestyle and everything because we used to party together and whatnot. And so she sees this new changed woman, but she was still in it. Okay, so one night she called me because I kept inviting her to church, you know, and one night she called me and she goes, sister, I am scared to death. Will you please come and stay the night with me? I'm like, sure. This was about 11 o'clock at night. So I go over there in her beautiful house that she had in the country. And I get there and she goes, I'm going to sleep on the couch and you can have my bed. I said, okay. I mean, that's very nice of you, you know. So I go back there in her bed and it's very dark. When she shut the door, it's like pitch black, you know. And so I'm laying there in the bed and all of a sudden I feel. All these demons start touching me. Boy, I almost jumped up from there and screamed to the top of my lungs at these old devils touching this holy temple. I just went like this, because this righteous indignation came over me at that time. I leaned up in the bed. I said, I'm telling all you demons in this room, because I could tell there was a legion of them, not just a few, but there was a legion. And that tells me why she didn't want to sleep in that bed. I said, I'm telling all you demons right now. I talked to him just a low voice like this. I said, I am telling all of you, you better not touch me again. Do you hear me? I have the blood of Jesus over me, and I'm going back to sleep. And I laid back down. They backed off, and they didn't touch me. The next day, I got up. She goes, how'd you sleep? I said, I slept real good, but I'm going to talk to you about something, young lady. And she's like, you felt them, huh? I said, yes, I did. She goes, they raped me at night. And I told her, I said, let me tell you something. I said, all them men that you sleep with, that you bring back here in that bedroom, their demons are staying. And that's what is back there, is the result of this lifestyle. You've got to get saved, sister. I can't go back there and cast them out because you're the owner of the house. So if you invite the devil in, I cannot override your will. You know, you are the one that has to shut this door. So she said, okay, thank you. So I left. And so she called me up one day and she said, okay, I'm ready. I do want to get saved. So I called my pastor and I told him, pastor, I got a woman coming that has a legion of demons. So we're going to need the whole prayer team to gather around this woman. We're going to have to pray this thing out as long as it takes. He said, okay, so here she comes. So he called up, you know, the elders and stuff and the prayer warriors up there. And I mean, we prayed and prayed and prayed, anointed with oil, cast them demons out of this woman. It was a battle, but we got them out. And then I went back to her house with that anointing on. Now we have authority, okay? Because her house has changed. She's giving the ownership over from Satan and darkness over to the light. So now her physical house has to come under obedience with her natural house, her physical body. The owner of the house has changed. So now we have authority. So now we go back, we anoint all the rooms, the bed, everything, we cast them all out. She's free. It lasted, I guess, for weeks or maybe months, but it was a very short time until she got to lusting and got lured back into lifestyle. The sad thing was, is the devil killed her. And this is a sad report for me to say, because she was my best friend. But people are going to do what they're going to do. But the devil's killed her through an alcoholic night. And but that's how serious it is of what we are facing, you know, with people, the demons. They're very real. And we're going to see them, according to the Lord, you know, spoken to us yesterday, is that they're going to begin to manifest more in the coming days. So praise God for this 3 days of consecration, prayer, learning who we are in Christ, knowing that we are a GPS system that is being watched by God at all times, that we have an army that is more that is for us than is against us, that we have the kingdom of heaven with us and the army with us. So we're not alone, okay? So let's all pray right now. Lord, we just thank you so much for our time together. We thank you, Lord, for confirming this morning about who we are in Christ. Lord, I thank you that you are showing us, Lord, that we are the modern-day Shadrach, Meshachs, and Abednegoes. We are the modern Davids and Elijahs and Elisha and Ruth and Esther. We're the modern-day apostles. We're the modern-day Jesus who lives on the inside of us. Oh, Lord, how we want to be that person that you have designed for us before time began, how we long to be filled with your glory and your purpose and destiny and not be lured back into the law, back into the old covenant, Lord. Help us to break free of that, God. Help us to see Jesus for all the fullness and the revelation of who he really is, Lord. And Lord, for all of those listening that have not been baptized, Lord, that you would help them to find a preacher they can trust, that can baptize them and wash off the old and bring in the new. No matter what their age and no matter where they live, they need to get baptized, Lord. Help them to get baptized this summer and to have that light shine as bright as we possibly can in this darkness, Lord. We know that we cannot control the enemy. We cannot control our enemies. But we know that we trust in you, and the will of the Lord will be done in our life. We thank you, Lord, that as far as our communication system goes, that our bodies, our temple, everybody lift your hands right now. In the name of Jesus, we decree and declare this morning that our communication system on the inside of our temple is being made new today. That it is going to be made in right alignment, and that all toxins have to go in the name of Jesus. All metals have to go in the name of Jesus. All hindrances to block our communication system through spells, incantations, or curses, broken right now in the name of Jesus. Gone in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for rerouting our communication system to factory development, to factory specifications, the way that you designed our communication system. No more tainting. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. We thank you, Lord, for receiving a spiritual tune-up today. Cleaning our temple, our communication system, so that we can hear you more clearly and we can overcome the enemy in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow. We just got a spiritual tune-up, Bride, a spiritual tune-up. Well, yesterday I did not feel the release to make that public, what was said yesterday. But today I am feeling a release to make this public because people need to know who they are in Christ. And they need to know that if they will trust in the Lord, that he will be with them and he is their GPS guide. And so that they can see the fruit of our prayer closet. So this one I'm going to release today. I don't think it'll be bad with those dreams and whatnot to encourage the body as a whole. So you guys, I pray you have a blessed day and I will talk to you later. I will see you tomorrow. Okay, so God bless.